doing things well. Competence carries within it efficiency, enthusiasm, flair, and flexibility, the four keys to material success. It is efficient because it finds the quickest and simplest solutions to any obstacles along its path. It is enthusiastic because it is deeply fulfilled by what it does. It has flair because it is doing something in a manner that no one else can. And it is flexible because it can be applied to any sphere of human enterprise imaginable. To be competent means to be able to think both logically and laterally whenever needed. The key to efficiency is the ability to switch spontaneously between creativity and receptivity, which means that it is self-adjusting. At the same time as acting, this gift is simultaneously listening and responding to its environment. Inside your body, this awareness corresponds to the solar plexus area, which is the biophysical zone that dictates how centered you feel at any given moment. To feel centered is to move and breathe from the belly, and for centuries many cultures have understood this truth. The whole notion of the solar plexus and the fire in the belly comes from a profound understanding of the power of this region of our body. The navel is seen symbolically as the font of human power and fertility, and the 14th gift harnesses this vast internal power. The secret of the belly is about drawing rather than pushing. A good analogy of this can be found in the differing techniques used in carpentry around the world. In the Orient, the saw is pulled towards the belly rather than being forced away, as is the Western style. The resulting cut is finer than one made through pushing. It also uses far less energy to pull the sword towards the belly than it does to push it away with your muscles. The only advantage of the Western style is that it is faster, but in the long run, quality is always a more economical investment than quantity. Competence in this sense is about performing a task with complete precision and elegance, in alignment with natural and harmonious rhythms. The 14th gift of competence is one of those gifts that is extremely contagious. As noted, one of its manifestations is enthusiasm, which is such an essential quality within any group, enterprise, or business. Indeed, this 14th gift is the main ingredient of any successful business venture or team. The enthusiasm that comes from this gift is the binding force that creates cohesion within groups. Those who have the 14th gift strongly activated in their hologenetic profile are often the driving force that can implement a particular vision or idea. Theirs is the gift of rousing the team spirit that is necessary to get an idea off the paper and into the world. It is also interesting to note that a competent team cannot contain members who compromise. All team members must be joined together in mutual enthusiasm for the same ideal. The programming partner of the 14th gift is the 8th gift of style. Competence also has a unique approach to everything. To be competent in something is to innovate new and exciting ways of tackling things on the material plane. The 14th gift also respects the unique and individual style and input of others. These people have real flair. They are not afraid of doing things in their own unique way, even though it may never have been seen or done before. At the same time, these people do not reject the advice of others, if it helps in their task, making them powerful team players. If this 14th gift is a part of your hologenetic profile, or you simply feel drawn to it, you are probably someone who will work best within a small team. Whether you are the leader of the team does not matter. The only thing that matters is that your unique capacities are respected. These are people with an enormous capacity to work at something if they really love what they are involved in and those with whom they are working. In this respect, they are natural teachers of others, since they imbue people with a sense of their own independence and confidence. The 14th gift also has another latent power, the power of attraction. Competence creates a powerful magnetic field that not only draws in the right support, but also has the ability to magnetize material wealth. Once you have attained the gift frequency, the tendency is for consciousness to keep expanding. This is the origin of the many folk sayings about money and wealth. For example, it takes wealth to become wealthy, or wealth begets wealth. Prosperity is an infectious energy field that grows exponentially as long as it is used in the service of empowerment. Competence is unafraid of success and power and radiates confidence and assuredness wherever it goes. It is a force field that naturally creates prosperity. It cannot do otherwise because it has so much creative power within it. It has only to find the right outlet in the world. Finally, the 14th gift has great flexibility. You cannot be rigid and competent at the same time. Competence is the working aura of someone who loves the material work they are involved in, whether that be in the office or at home in the family. Mothers, in particular, who have the 14th gift, can create all the dynamics within a family for spiritual, emotional, and material prosperity. As the backbone of the family, their powerful spirit will infuse and empower each child as they grow, as well as inspire strength and purpose in their partners or husbands. In fact, the moment you activate the 14th gift, you release a certain aroma through your DNA that soon makes you the backbone and mainstay of any family or team. Moreover, your aura of confidence and capability can be easily transferred in any direction. This flexibility is not the same as having skill. It is a fearless openness to grapple with any task in a realistic and focused way. If you do not know how to do something, you learn, and once you have learned it, you can apply it to other areas of life. In this way, the 14th gift continually extends its potential in many different directions simultaneously. The 14th Siddhi, Bounteousness, the Single-Celled Heaven. At the Siddhic level of consciousness, energy is transmitted through the individual via the medium of the morphogenetic field. Morphogenetic fields are energetic grids that connect all creatures and particles of matter at a subatomic level. In order for a human being to utilize the power of this energetic matrix, their body must emit a very high frequency wavelength. At the Siddhic level, their whole being becomes like a vacuum. Something astounding occurs to the chemistry of a person at the Siddhic level, and this transformation is so physiologically powerful that it literally drives the occupant, commonly known as the ego, right out of the vehicle. It is interesting, and perhaps controversial to some, to note that the highest attainable state of consciousness in a human body is also akin to the lowest. It is the lowest in terms of the modus operandi of consciousness, for the human at the Siddhic level most closely resembles the most basic life form on our planet, the eukaryote. Eukaryotes, such as amoeba, are incapable of awareness, although they do have consciousness, and in this respect they are the building blocks of life on our planet. These primitive single-celled organisms are an apt symbol of the Siddhic level of consciousness. They have a nucleus containing genetic instructions and some form of protective membrane, and that's about it. Likewise, for the one manifesting a Siddhic state, there is no normal functioning of awareness. Naturally, human awareness continues, but it works mechanically and only when called upon by outside stimulus. Otherwise, the acidic state is very similar to that within the amoeba. There are genetic instructions to be followed from within the nucleus, but other than that, there is nothing. The 64 gene keys represent these genetic instructions within each human being. They form the archetypal alphabet that underlies the behavior of all humans. How clearly the instructions are followed depends upon the frequency of the vehicle and its chemistry. At the shadow level, there is a great deal of background noise to interfere with the instructions. This background noise comes from your past and the collective genetic past stored within your cells. As your genetic frequency moves toward the gift level, the noise diminishes as you begin to live less from your own past and more within each moment. However, even at this level, the collective genetic memory still remains as an unconscious, subtle, conditioning element influencing your behavior. At the true acidic level, all trace of personal and genetic history has to be burned from your body. This is no small matter. One needs to try to understand the import of this last statement. Inside every human being's DNA is stored the collective memory of every human who has come before him or her. That means every feeling, fear, aspiration, and desire dating back to the beginning of man's journey, and, before this, every instinct within all the creatures from whom we have descended, going right back to the amoeba, all of the immeasurable genetic history of the evolutionary life on this planet has to be erased from our DNA. Only when this has occurred can humanity's true power be experienced without limitation. This is what the 14th city is about, and it is encapsulated within the name the ancient Chinese gave this archetype, possession in great measure. The 14th city is the core archetype of your power as an individual. It is the city of bounteousness, the ultimate legacy of what it means to be a human. This city is the true genetic inheritance of man, the ability to create in abundance. But the 14th city is not about accumulation, it is about fertility. Your true latent fertility lies mostly dormant in your genes. When the 14th city flowers inside a person, they become a driving force for humanity itself. Their every word, thought, and deed reaches deep into the morphogenetic field and pushes the whole of humanity in a new direction— the direction of abundance. The overflowing fertile potential within humans is almost infinite. As this city testifies, if a single human can influence the entire direction of the species in a beneficial direction, one can only imagine what might happen if all humans were to manifest this city. The mass dawning of the 14th city would be what almost all cultures have at some time referred to, the uniting of heaven and earth. Not just a golden age, but a permanent state in which all humans take the helm together, a state in which individual power and collective power become one and the same. As we saw with the 14th gift, this is a contagious gene key. And we should remember that it is also contagious at its shadow frequency. There are few things as contagious as compromise. However, at its highest level, the 14th gene key holds a great destiny for humanity. As people awaken through this city, it will begin to travel like wildfire through the world. Here is an example of how the morphogenetic field works. If someone truly is manifesting the 14th city, then merely thinking about them will trigger a flood of prosperity on many levels in your life. Even a single man or woman manifesting this city can create ripples of prosperity and spiritual well-being wherever they go. This is the origin of the ancient belief in the power of the guru. It is said that merely thinking of the guru or holding their photograph will bring about a beneficial transformation in your life. To conclude this 14th siddhi, we need to understand one thing more, a difficult truth for some to stomach. Individual power is nothing more than a myth. Despite the fact that this 14th gene key is all about personal power, the 14th siddhi is about the end of all things personal. At this level, we need to view humanity as one large expanding genetic vehicle. Each individual human is simply another set of bioenergetic instructions in the greater body. In this sense, individuality is actually the same thing as interference. If a cell within the body behaves as though it has an identity of its own, it cannot function cleanly. It is as though the windows of that cell are dirty and information cannot pass efficiently and transparently from the greater body to the cell. Its illness is that it thinks it exists autonomously. Likewise, we humans, complex though we like to think ourselves, are akin to single-celled organisms within a far greater body. We are merely building blocks for a higher life, and in that sense, we are utterly expendable. It is not us that matter. There is no us. There is only the siddhic programming, to create more and more abundance in every direction and at every level of consciousness. That is the true definition of bounteousness.
15th Gene Key. An eternally flowering spring. Programming partner, 10th gene key. Codon ring, the ring of seeking. 15, 39, 52, 53, 54, 58. Physiology, liver. Amino acid, serine. The 15th shadow, dullness. Another day in hell. The poet T.S. Eliot said that as far as literature is concerned, the world is divided between Shakespeare and Dante. There is no third. Whilst most people are aware of Shakespeare and probably use many of his expressions in their everyday lives without realizing it, Dante has for the most part remained a mystery to the wider world. And yet, in his supreme work, The Divine Comedy, Dante left us what is arguably the greatest map of human consciousness ever written. Whereas Shakespeare used drama, Dante used allegory as a means to communicate an immortal truth about human nature. The Divine Comedy essentially describes the geography of consciousness as it moves from the lower frequencies to the very highest. The 64 gene keys can be experienced at the three main frequency bands of the shadow, the gift, and the siddhi. Dante named these same levels of consciousness hell, purgatory, and paradise, respectively. This 15th gene key is the key aspect of a complex set of genetic blueprints in human beings, known as the ring of seeking. It is this codon in your genome that initiates your evolutionary journey from being unaware of your true nature to your eventual awakening as an expression of divine form. All your struggles, pains, agonies, triumphs, and ecstasies are written here in this codon ring because, like the Divine Comedy, it lays down the geography and topography of your journey towards awakening. Within this genetic structure, the 15th gene key plays perhaps the most vital role of all the gene keys. In a nutshell, it keeps us human. To be a human is to be a battlefield of opposing forces and frequencies, some of which pull you towards heaven and others which try to drag you downward into hell. Humanity is the bridge for consciousness to work out these many conflicting currents. The 15th shadow of dullness describes a low-frequency human attitude to being alive in a body.
It is the fear of the ordinariness of life. One of the key elements in Dante's hell is repetition. Transgressors and evildoers are frequently depicted, locked into endless cycles, where the consequences of their evil deeds are played out over and over for eternity. One of the greatest fears of the 15th shadow is just this, to be locked into a repeating rhythm that never changes. And yet the huge irony here, which Dante captures perfectly in his great work, is that life does indeed consist of endless repeating patterns and rhythms. As you enter more and more deeply into the mysteries of the 64 gene keys, you will begin to realize the truth behind the latest revelations and suppositions of physics and quantum theory, that the universe appears to be a hologram in which the same patterns are repeated again and again in infinite fractal variations. This 15th gene key is about the diversity of organic life. The 15th shadow highlights the dullness of life. It represents an attitude of human awareness, and indeed of animal and plant awareness, although in the case of other life forms, one might not use the word dullness. A dog can sit on a doorstep for a whole month, doing absolutely nothing and never be bored. Indeed, when we humans observe animals, we often feel a sense of envy that they seem to have no worries, that their lives are so simple. With our self-reflective awareness, we humans are capable of something truly magical and at the same time quite terrifying. We are capable of attitude. Only the human neocortex makes dullness possible. Two humans going through identical experiences can literally taste two entirely different worlds. One can be in heaven and the other in hell. Not only that, your attitude affects life's events, which is the first great law of magic. Experience mirrors attitude. Attitude is, in fact, one of the great mysteries of life, because its source is indefinable. You may think it is the way you think, but it is not your mind, even though it operates through your thinking. You may think it is your unconscious, but it operates underneath even the deepest levels of your psychology and physiology. In short, your attitude denotes how consciousness is using your awareness at any given moment. It is the membrane that links the microcosm to the macrocosm, and it is how DNA programs and is programmed by the environment. It is a natural response to life, and its prime directive seems to consist of only one thing, growth. Finally, attitude is linked to your hormones, your brain chemistry, and to something altogether beyond your conscious perception, your spirit. The 15th shadow manifests in human behavior whenever a person's spirit feels low, for whatever reason. One of the great causes of shifts in your attitude is light, or the lack of it, epitomized, for example, by changes in the weather. On a cloudy, grey day, all human beings experience subtle changes in their physiology, as do animals and plants. It is how you interpret those changes that dictates your attitude. No human can escape the dullness of existence. It is all simply a matter of how you deal with it. It is, in fact, a deeply human experience and is at the core of our basic psychology. It can lead to extreme states, depression, violence, rage, and frustration. The moment your perspective shifts, whether because of inner or outer light, the feeling of dullness can actually become incredibly exciting and vibrant. We can see how this occurs at a higher frequency in the 15th gift, the gift of magnetism. This word gives us a clue that helps to understand the true nature of what we are calling dullness. It is based upon the lack of magnetism or polarity. Dullness is neither the top nor the bottom of a spectrum. It is actually right in the middle, where there is no polarity at all. Herein lies the rub. Polarity is never dull. Rage is not dull. Violence is not dull.
Only the lack of any charge, positive or negative, is dull. This last truth, that the spectrum of consciousness is not a straight line with a negative pole at one end and a positive pole at the other, is a startling insight. What the 15th shadow is telling us is that all the shadow states have at their core this same dullness, and that the shadows themselves only emerge according to how we respond to this dullness. It all depends upon how deeply you allow the dullness to sink in. The more deeply you embrace the dullness, the more mystical it becomes, like the emptiness described by the Buddha. The deepest truth of all is that life itself is meaningless. What you do with this truth determines what kind of universe you inhabit. If you get stuck at the level of your mind, you will probably try to find something, anything, to distract you from the dullness. If you get stuck at the deeper level of your feelings, you will probably fall into a kind of depression as your physical energy sinks. The programming partner of the 15th shadow is the 10th shadow, which is about self-obsession, and you cannot escape this polarity. You can only experience it from another frequency. If you can allow the dullness to permeate your entire being without being stuck in any reaction, it will cease to be dull. You will experience it as growth, and at even higher levels as the flowering of consciousness, known as fluorescence. This is truly the miracle of the spectrum of consciousness, that every shadow state conceals a divine gift less than a breath away. It doesn't take a process to move from the shadow to the Siddhi. It is simply a matter of pure acceptance. All three levels, the shadow, the gift, and the Siddhi, are in reality one. From the shadow, you cannot see the gift or the Siddhi. From the gift, you can see the shadow. In fact, you are using its creative energy, but you cannot see the Siddhi. Only from the Siddhi can you see everything. You see that there is no difference whatsoever between the actual experience of the shadow and the experience of the Siddhi. The only difference is that you do not resist the state in which you find yourself. Dullness is dullness. Life is meaningless. In order to accept this truth, you have to live it totally. There is no trick or technique that will take away the feeling. Life is absolutely ordinary, and you too must be absolutely ordinary. The only way to true paradise is through this absolute ordinariness. Repressive nature. Empty. When dullness takes hold of someone with a naturally repressive nature, it manifests as emptiness. This dullness is very different from boredom, which has a certain restless, energetic quality hidden within it. See the 35th shadow. This kind of emptiness is very close to depression, and in fact will inevitably lead to depression. Such a person has at some level given up. It is a kind of negative acceptance or resignation. It is acceptance that has only gone to a certain depth within one's nature and has become stuck. Repressive natures are fear-based natures, and such people get stuck because at some level they become afraid of fear itself. This causes the locking mechanism within that leads to depression and other disorders of a similar nature. Such people can only escape these states when they discover the fear that is preventing the emptiness from moving deeper inside them. As we have seen, once someone allows this primordial emptiness to saturate them entirely, it is no longer experienced as something separate from them, neither is it experienced as emptiness. Rather the opposite. It unleashes a great surge of energy and vitality. Reactive nature. Extremist. If you have a reactive nature, then you will rebel against the dullness. These people do not accept the dullness either, but their nature is to escape through denial.
They often hide behind a kind of vagueness, moving from one experience to another with no real sense of rhythm or purpose. Being extremists, they can find themselves in all kinds of diverse situations and places, but again, with no real directed sense of passion. These people are always on the move, never really able to commit to anything or anyone, running from their own shadows. Such people have a hidden rage within that prevents them from being with others for very long. Only when they see through their own patterns of reaction can they begin to accept what they are running from. The 15th gift, magnetism. Hitting the Schumann resonance. The 15th gene key is such a powerful portal into life's mysteries. It is one of the gene keys that bridges humans with other life forms, and in doing so, it connects us profoundly to the living spirit of nature, or Gaia. In 1977, a scientist by the name of Otto Schumann made a remarkable discovery. He mathematically predicted the exact frequency of the Earth's heartbeat within the electromagnetic spectrum. Vibrating at 7.8 hertz, this wavelength, called the Schumann resonance, is literally the vibrating pulse at the heart of all living organisms. This pulse binds us together as a single living organism. The 15th gift represents the inner barometer within your DNA to the Schumann resonance. All human disease comes about because of disturbances between your individual electromagnetic field and this greater field that emanates from the Earth. Whenever your frequency ceases to correspond to the Schumann resonance, you are out of kilter with your natural rhythms, and the chemistry of your physiology experiences pressure and stress. One of the great challenges for modern humanity is to learn how to slow down. The Schumann resonance is a frequency oscillation that moves far more slowly than most human beings are used to, especially in our modern world. Time moves uniquely for all life on Gaia. She has never been in a hurry. The power of Gaia is the power of greenness. If we left our planet exactly as it is now for 1,000 years, our cities and roads would once again become green forests. That is the speed, power, and pace of Gaia. Since magnetism is the binding force of all creatures and forms, the more deeply you move into the Schumann resonance, the more magnetic you become. This is all about trusting in the natural ebb and flow of life events. You can see how the agitation of the lower frequencies so easily experiences these slower frequencies as dullness. The fact is that when the frequency of your DNA hits the Schumann resonance, your experience of time stops completely. These are truths that are still experienced and embodied by many of the indigenous cultures alive on our planet today. To live closely to the Earth's natural rhythms is to experience the wisdom and clarity that comes of moving more slowly through the world. As you ascend in consciousness to the gift level of frequency, you experience for the first time the underlying beauty of life's diversity through the subtle mutations that take place in this 15th gene key. The very state that you feared was taking away your life force actually becomes an awesome font of vital magnetic energy. Dullness is no longer dull. It is as though you were peering into an empty vessel and suddenly realized that it isn't empty, but full, full of potential. This simple shift in attitude allows you to unlock the higher magnetic power latent within your DNA. Such magnetic power is the foundation for the law of attraction, the universal law that draws towards you that which serves your higher purpose, be it money, people, or resources. Until you hit the Schumann resonance, the effortless power of this law cannot be realized in your life.
People displaying the 15th gift as a powerful trait emanate a tangible physical presence. They stand out from others in this respect. The gift of magnetism makes a person physically glow with life force, literally making them appear larger than life. It is a gift filled with enthusiasm and openness, and above all, it is a gift of love. As a universal unifying force, the magnetism unleashed by this 15th gift allows you to harness all the power of the natural world. Such people often have a very strong connection with nature or with the animal, plant, and organic kingdoms, either personally or through their work. Being rooted in the natural world and its diversity of rhythms, the 15th gift has a natural respect for all sentient life. Just as magnetism holds families of the same species together, people with the 15th gift feel a deep kinship with humanity. This is a gift that will readily accept and work with any extreme human behavior or sphere. Magnetism does not exclude anyone, and the more diversity these people encounter in life, the more fulfilled they are. The real beauty of the 15th gift, however, lies in its acceptance of ordinariness. To experience life through this gift is, in the words of William Blake, to see heaven in a wildflower. It is to view the holographic vista of life as complete, exactly as it appears before you. To the 15th gene key, there can be no separation between the mystical and the mundane, because life is experienced as an immortal journey through all the mythic strands and stories of human culture. Through the 15th gene key, you stand amidst the mundane as a warrior. The most boring everyday issue can seem to you no less than an opportunity for personal transformation. The great spiritual trials are not met in the extremes, but in the everyday. In your relationships, whilst doing the dishes, cleaning the house, or going to work. This is the origin of the mystical saying that in order to find heaven, you never need even walk out of your own door. You could summarize the gift of magnetism as being the power to influence and be influenced by means of the aura. Magnetism is all about the power of aura. As Goethe said, everything alive creates an atmosphere around itself. All life forms radiate bioenergetic energy fields, which interact with their environment through geometric laws. It is this 15th gift that unlocks the power of the aura to conduct and relay information between different forms. The more resonant your aura becomes with the Earth's natural frequencies, the wider your aura spreads, bringing you into contact with many of the hidden realities and kingdoms within nature. Eventually, as the frequency of your aura comes into perfect resonance, it interlocks with the Earth grid itself, and your consciousness expands exponentially, becoming one with Gaia and all creatures. The 15th Siddhi, Fluorescence. The Emergence of Shambhala. The 15th Siddhi is a quality known as fluorescence, a word that essentially refers to the process of bursting into flower. Each of the siddhis, in fact, represents a process of fluorescence. That is what the higher self represents, your ultimate flowering. Fluorescence cannot be chased, hurried, or enforced. It is a state that occurs to humans sporadically, meaning that no one can predict if or when it will occur to a particular person. One thing alone is certain. We humans recognize it when it occurs in another. A person in whom consciousness is spontaneously flowering is a person surrounded by magic, by light, and by a tangible magnetic mystery. As the zenith of human magnetism, fluorescence manifests like a supernova through the human aura, and once it has begun, it keeps expanding and expanding into deeper and deeper dimensions. Such a person becomes a magnet for the many others who hunger for such higher states. Although fluorescence cannot be predicted, there are certain signs that may appear before it occurs. If we look to the 10th gene key, the gift of naturalness, which is the programming partner of the 15th gene key, we find a clue. When a person becomes truly natural and comfortable with who they are, when they become truly accepting of theirs and others' lives, they are close to flowering. Fluorescence is experienced when awareness finally comes to rest, because only when awareness stops seeking itself can it truly rest. When it does come to rest, consciousness, which was within it all along, finally shines through. The ancients and sages said that the mind must be still, or that all thought must stop, in order for reality to be perceived. This has actually been misinterpreted down the ages. It is not thought that must cease, but identification with thought. It is the thinker that must cease. Hearing that truth, many have sought and continue to seek the source behind awareness. However, no amount of tinkering with awareness can reveal the truth. This is why there is no technique or system that can ensure enlightenment. Awareness has to come to rest of its own accord. It is a great and wondrous mystery, the fact that there is nothing that can be done to speed up our flowering can be seen as both a blessing and a curse. To the mind, it seems a curse because the mind likes having something to do. To the inner being, it is a great blessing because the embodiment of this truth will lead to progressive levels of relaxedness. Ultimately, fluorescence depends on nothing. It cannot be created, not by meditation, not by good karma, not by any form of effort, not even by effortlessness. Fluorescence is grace. It occurs whenever and wherever it feels like occurring. This 15th gene key forms the main stem of the codon ring of seeking, a multidimensional genetic subprogram in all human beings. Each member of this chemical family ignites a different pressure that begs to be resolved in our lives. For example, the 54th gene key seeks to rise up socially, spiritually, and materially, whereas the 52nd gene key seeks a state of complete rest. It is through the mystery of the 15th siddhi that all this pressure to seek is finally brought to an end. If you look at nature, which is the root of the word fluorescence, you will see that nature produces many buds on many different plants, but that all plants flower at unique times. Furthermore, the buds on each particular plant open collectively in a great rush of dynamic energy. In human beings, enlightenment operates in the same way, through different time periods and epochs. Enlightenment never occurs to just a single person, but successively jumps across generations during a certain time period. It is a phenomenon that, once ignited, will play itself out through many different fractal flowerings in many different kinds of human lives. From time immemorial, mankind has devised intuitive systems to understand the rhythms and timing of when people are born. There are obvious and fundamental truths that different cultures have discovered. Each of the 64 gene keys has a position within the arc of the year, creating a unique genetic astrology for each of us. People born with the 15th gene key prominent in their hologenetic profile are nearly always born at or close to the summer solstice. This is because the power of the solstice is the power of fluorescence, when all of nature is reaching its zenith. A person manifesting the 15th siddhi thus has a vibrancy that is simply irresistible. Fluorescence as a word goes much further than the word flowering. Fluorescence refers to a process of exponential bursting into flower, as though the focus is not simply on a single flower, but an entire tree of flowers all bursting into bud at the same time.
This is what such people do when the grace of fluorescence occurs to them. They flower in many, many directions at once. Their potential seems endless. The diversity of their interests appears inexhaustible, as though they were flowering in every possible sphere of life at the same time. Such a being cannot stop anywhere and allow themselves to remain with any particular path or way. The awareness within them does what it must do. It reflects the energy of spring, always moving, growing, exploring, and delighting in whatever passes before it. The 15th city can only occur when the mind has completely given up control. Fluorescence is utterly confusing to the mind. It is too spontaneous, too unpredictable, and too wild for the mind to follow, let alone manage. It would be rather like a writer writing 100 books simultaneously and jumping at random between them, whilst at the same time holding down 100 other jobs and moving randomly between them. Fluorescence follows nature's own wild, organic rhythms, which demand an attitude of trust, surrender, and childish delight. When you come into perfect harmony with the Schumann resonance, time itself will stop within your being. This is an impossible experience to relay in words. In the words of Christ, it is when we mystically inherit the earth. We come to experience the mystery of Philos Anthropos, the pure love of humanity embodied in the principle of philanthropy. All of life is now seen as philanthropic, constantly giving its own essence back into the whole. This codon ring of seeking is currently undergoing a deep mutative process that is changing the essential rhythmic structure of all life on our planet. Above all, it is bringing humans into greater awareness of the delicate balance of living biological systems, and in particular, plants. As the pressure of human seeking burns away the greenness of our planet through pollution and industrial expansion, we are coming to realize that we are also responsible for these great changes in global rhythms. Our climate is simply the byproduct of a deeper energetic change that is taking place. Deep within this genetic codon, the dynamic energy of liberation is moving via the electrical and explosive 39th gene key. This gene key, in its higher frequency, is actually a precursor of the great change that will transform all life on Earth through the 55th gene key. But it all begins here, in the ring of seeking, with an amino acid known as serine. Human seeking will eventually burn itself out. That is the higher trajectory we as a species are following, whatever it looks like on the surface. Each of the 6 gene keys in this codon ring will awaken in a sequence, beginning with the 39th gene key and ending here with the 15th gene key. As this awakening moves through humanity and nature, we will experience powerful, subtle earth changes, as our primary magnetic grids are recalibrated to a higher frequency. What the 15th city really does for humanity is align us with a higher evolution. It is always difficult to see evolutions beyond your own. Nonetheless, they exist. Our great teachers and mythologies have always been aware of them. The earth itself contains subtle kingdoms of a far higher frequency than humanity. And these Devic kingdoms are also preparing to take a leap in consciousness by merging with human consciousness. The greatest fluorescence will occur when hidden higher forces latent within the earth itself rise to the surface and absorb human consciousness. This awakening from within has long been a part of all human mythology, which tells of great cities within the earth and a shining jewel at their center, known as Shambhala or Agartha. Such myths testify to the genetic change that is sweeping through all DNA on our planet. It is even impacting the evolution of the galaxy and cosmos itself. Fluorescence is a mirror of the supernovae we see in the heavens above, but it is a supernova that takes place deep within the structure of form itself. In a nutshell, fluorescence is the explosive chain reaction of enlightenment of all forms to the true nature of consciousness. It is stamped into the destiny of every living creature, and it is coming to humanity very soon. 16th Gene Key. Magical Genius. Programming Partner, 9th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Prosperity. 1645. Physiology, parathyroid. Amino acid, cysteine. The 16th Shadow. Indifference. The Diffusion of Responsibility. At the shadow frequency, one of the most powerful and pervasive forces that keeps you from perceiving a higher reality is indifference. As long as you are indifferent, you can't ever be different. This is the key to the 16th shadow, which concerns the very human fear of leaving your comfort zone and fully embracing change in your life. As an aspect of the codon ring of prosperity, the 16th gene key is about excellence. To prosper truly in the world is to find the one thing in life at which you excel above all others. This is the true destiny of every human being, but to bring this dream to fruition, you must first step out of the shadows and take the risk of being different. Indifference is an energy field that gets you to focus your precious time and life force on the inessential. The inessential in this context is anything that takes your attention away from the present moment and its limitless potential. As long as you are focused on the inessential, you will be indifferent to the things in life that really matter. The Holocaust survivor and writer Elie Wiesel had the following to say about this subject. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference. The 16th gene key represents the collective expression of the state of health of humanity. In our modern world, this expression is clear, that the vast majority of the world lives in poverty, whilst a select few thrive, is a testament to the power of the 16th shadow, which sucks all the life out of the world. Because human beings are not willing to stand up and be different, they become willing to sit by the side of life and observe. In social psychology, this common human pattern is known as the diffusion of responsibility and refers to the human preponderance to look away when confronted by another in distress, often when there are a number of other people in the same vicinity. However, as a byproduct of the 16th shadow of indifference, the diffusion of responsibility occurs across the width and breadth of our planet on a far subtler energetic level. Indifference is an energy field created by all the human beings on this planet who are not doing what they would really love to be doing. The only reason for this state is fear. Whoever you are and whatever your life circumstances, if you transcend your fear, you will suddenly become so much more capable than you were before. To break out of the field of indifference is to make the courageous move deep into your own fears and overcome the lethargy that prevents you from making something truly beautiful of your life. Indifference has many faces and excuses. One of the primary excuses human beings use for not doing what they truly want in life is the excuse that they don't have enough time. This habit of making yourself a victim of time is the core escape strategy of the 16th shadow, but time actually has nothing to do with it. You have become a victim of your mind rather than of time. Time itself is as fluid as water. And as the 17th and 5th and 52nd gene keys testify, it can be bent, shortened, twisted,
lengthened, and even stopped. The moment you take a stand and begin to follow your dreams, time becomes your ally rather than your enemy, automatically adapting itself to fit your needs. The programming partner to the 16th shadow is the 9th shadow of inertia, and it is easy to see how these two genetic forces keep humans from actually getting anywhere. As with all the shadow polarities, they create a biofeedback loop that traps energy at a low frequency. In this case, indifference cannot overcome inertia because it doesn't feel strongly enough to do anything about it. This 16th shadow can be absolutely full of plans and good intentions about the world, but they rarely get off the ground. This is the shadow of the pipe dream, the delusion that your dreams will one day become manifest without you ever actually having to initiate them. What is lacking in the lives of those in the grip of this shadow is one vital factor, enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is the original Chinese name for this 16th hexagram of the I Ching. Enthusiasm is the key that can pull you out of your inertia and snap the frozen pattern of your indifference. To be enthused, you must actually have an experience rather than simply dreaming about an experience. One of the greatest challenges in surmounting the collective weight of indifference is your unique inability to identify with whatever your dreams really are. This is why experience is critical to this process of breaking free. It is not enough to daydream and plan how you might save the world. You have to actually begin the work. The other major excuse of those under the spell of this shadow is, "I am not ready yet." Again, this excuse is based on a false notion of time. The truth is that you are always ready. You are ready right now. If you keep postponing your dreams, they will always remain dreams. If you actually have the courage to begin them, you will learn as you go along. When you have the courage to step onto the path of your destiny, two things immediately occur. The first is that you feel an enormous surge of new energy coming from your own enthusiasm. And the second is that you stop compromising your path because of pressure coming from others. Only your courage and your enthusiasm have the power to break through the collective energetic walls created by the diffusion of responsibility. Down at the shadow frequencies, you have no idea what is possible. You see only with your mind, which is incapable of encompassing full reality. Your enthusiasm has the power to overcome the mass propaganda telling you that your dreams are impossible and your courage is the sword protecting you from individual pressure that threatens to choke you. With this newfound courage, you can finally stand as a fully embodied human presence. There is a deep entrepreneurial spirit here in this genetic codon. It is, after all, called the Ring of Prosperity. It is the fusion of human talent coupled with the power of group synergy, the 45th gene key, that opens the field for true prosperity. The more you expand into your talent, the more the universal field of consciousness responds, coming to meet you halfway. Only by striking out alone will you find the right people to support, orient, and bring your vision to fruition. The 16th shadow has much to do with the unique gifts concealed within every human being, but at the shadow frequency, this can be very confusing. The 16th shadow puts all its emphasis on skills, techniques, and systems, rather than on the human spirit that enlivens them. These people can become addicted to information and techniques, but rarely transcend these techniques. The 16th shadow creates experts, whereas the 16th city creates masters. The distance between the two is almost unfathomable. To be an expert is to remain indifferent and unenthused, because once enthusiasm has been unleashed, skill gives way to something far more magical. It opens up the amazing gift of versatility. As you become more versatile, you, for the first time, become truly different. You become special, and the moment that happens, you have finally killed indifference.
Repressive nature, gullible. When indifference is repressed, it manifests as gullibility. These people become victims of the mass propaganda of the